O unique God of all, the Lord of Abraham, Moses, Jesus, and Muhammad. We call upon your name this evening as we come to break our fast.
According to the teachings of Islam, Ramadan commemorates the revelation of God's word in the Holy Quran to the Prophet Muhammad. The word has become the foundation for one of the world's great religions.
You said recently in your old church, our national leaders are sending U.S. soldiers on a task that is from God. Are we fighting a holy war?
You know, I don't know if that was my exact quote.
Exact words.
As again we say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. Give me a break. Something happened on the road to Damascus. John fell off his horse, but he got back up on the same horse.
Well, it came early this year, at least it seems earlier than it comes other years. This festival of Ramadan, which is a month-long celebration for the Muslim world, and as the Muslim world has come more into our view here in the West, and we're noticing the Muslims among us, even though the population is relatively small here in the United States, questions are certainly going to arise. What is Ramadan, and what is its place in the Muslim religion? Why a month? What does it involve? How do we understand it? Many people try to draw parallels between this Muslim festival, this month of repentance for the Muslims, if that's what it is, with other things like the Christian celebration of Lent, or maybe because it falls in the winter months, other winter religious festivals like maybe even Christmas. We're going to talk about Ramadan here for the first, 10 minutes of Issues, Etc. Dr. Adam Francisco will be our guest. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Friday afternoon. It's September the 26th. We're here to respond to your phone calls and your email. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. And after our conversation on Ramadan, we'll talk with Craig Parton about testing the truth claims of world religions. Dr. Adam Francisco is a regular guest professor of historical theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and author of a forthcoming book, Luther and Islam. Dr. Francisco, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm very well. Can we draw a parallel here, since it usually falls in the winter months, that what we're really looking at here in Ramadan is just kind of the Muslim Christmas?
No, not really. Some say that, and I didn't do the scientific research, but some say that Ramadan, that the Muslim would say, the beauty of Ramadan is that because the Muslims follow the lunar calendar, and there's a fluctuation between a calendar based off the moon and the Western calendar of about 12 days, that Ramadan will actually move throughout the years, and so you'll celebrate Ramadan in the different seasons, and they'll say that's of course by Allah's plan. I don't think you can say there's a parallel, except for Ramadan is the celebration of Allah, who is quite distinct from the Christian God, his sending down his word to Muhammad. And in the Christian tradition, Christmas is the celebration of God and taking on human flesh and being born as a baby. So maybe you could say there's a slight parallel, but Ramadan certainly is a distinctly Islamic tradition.
What is it exactly? What is a celebration of Ramadan consist of?
Well, first of all, it's enjoined upon Muslims in the Quran. It says in Quran chapter 2 that Ramadan is the month in which the Quran was revealed as guidance to man, and clear proof of the guidance and criterion of falsehood and truth. So when you see the new moon, meaning the crescent moon starting at the ninth month of the lunar calendar, you should fast the whole month. And so in Ramadan, Muslims will get up before sunrise. They eat a quick, a long meal to get ready for a days-long fast, and they'll do this for 30 days. They will fast as soon as the sun comes up. They're prohibited from taking in anything, whether it be water, coffee, or food. They're not permitted to engage in conjugal relations until the sun goes down. And they'll do this for 30 days. At the end of those 30 days, they'll have a big celebration of breaking the fast. Ramadan is supposed to, it comes, the term Ramadan comes from the Arabic root Ramid or Ramad, which means, has sort of connotations of burning. And so Ramadan is a month that Muslims see as throughout the course of the month, as they fast, they are purifying themselves and drawing closer to God or closer to Allah by fasting and focusing on the Quran. In fact, many Muslims, a good Muslim, will try to read the entire Quran or at least hear the entire Quran being recited throughout the month.
So it's a celebration of the Quran. I'm curious about the fasting element in it. In Christian tradition, as you well know, fasting is associated most often with repentance and with mortification of the sinful nature. Is there a parallel here with Ramadan, or are they fasting in kind of a different context?
It is different. They fast not to show contrition or anything. It's more of a fast to really to gain God's favor. And there is a tradition, it might even be in the Quran, that says one day of fasting in Ramadan is worth thousands on any other day. And so it's really a religious work to appease or to gain God's favor.
Where does it fit within what is usually known as the five pillars of Islam, Ramadan?
One of the pillars is Saum, which is fasting, in particular, fasting during the month of Ramadan. There are different lists, but usually it's the last one or the second to last. All five pillars, they're all important. There's no distinguishing between one being more important than the other.
You said that this is kind of overtly viewed by Muslims as not only a kind of a purging fast, but also a work that avails before Allah. Does the Muslim believe that he's kind of on Allah's wrong side and needs to win Allah's favor?
Yeah, you get this tension in the Muslim mind that you just cannot know if you have God's favor. And so, especially during Ramadan and when they go off on their pilgrimage to the Kaaba, they're doing as much as they can to acquire more merit, if you will, so that God will look upon them favorably. And you will see that, I mean, if you meet Muslims, if they're serious Muslims, they do have this, what Luther would call this anfechtung, whether they've done enough for God.
I guess that would be natural if you consider either fasting or anything that you're doing kind of the condition you must meet before your God to find his favor. You're never going to be certain if you've done enough.
That's right. And yeah, the only way you can be certain in Islam is, of course, if you die as a martyr and going on a jihad. There's no guarantee. There's no event that, you know, that God did or caused on in history that was that is an event that would guarantee your forgiveness. Not like Christianity, where the work of the forgiveness of sins is an accomplished fact. It happened about 2,000 years ago, just outside of Jerusalem.
How can we use Ramadan as a, for lack of a better word, a talking point for opening a conversation with Muslims about Christianity? About 2 minutes here.
Oh boy, I guess the immediate connecting point or the bridge is to be built is with this idea of whether one can ever be certain they're saved. And in Islam, the answer is, if you're informed by the Quran, that you can never be certain unless you die in jihad. And so that certainly would lead to conversations about how the Christian knows they're certain they're saved, namely through the person and work of Christ, which isn't just something, a good feeling in the heart, but it's actual fact of history.
So are we seeing here, with only about a minute, are we seeing here, lived out, the Muslims among us, kind of raw works, righteousness for everyone to see?
Absolutely. Luther himself picked up on this. He, in one of his psalm commentaries, he says when he's experiencing doubt whether he's really interpreted Paul right, especially that one is saved apart from works of the law, he says he turns to Rome and he sees that's sort of works, a religion that works light, and he says, and then Muhammad almost becomes my prophet. That's, of course, that's Luther being hyperbolic or exaggerating, but Islam certainly is, if you look at all the religions, is the religion of works par excellence. At least Luther would think that way.
Dr. Adam Francisco is guest professor of historical theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, author of the forthcoming book, Luther and Islam. Thank you for being our guest.
My pleasure.
You know, there's a good point there in Luther's observation, and that is whether you're a Muslim, it doesn't really matter what you are. Even if you're a Christian and you somehow mistakenly believe that you've got to do something to win God's favor, maybe Jesus has done just enough to kind of win God's favor, to sway him over to your side, but you've got to cinch the deal with whatever you do, think, don't do. It doesn't really make any difference whether it's complete rank works righteousness, where it's all up to you, or whether you are accountable for what? Only 1% of the deal. It really makes no difference. If there's anything that you must do, then whatever you do is never enough. That's why the assurance of Christianity is what Christ has done for you, his perfect life, his death, and his resurrection, is enough. It's completely enough. It leaves nothing left to be done to find God's favor for you, a sinner. There's the big contrast between all works righteousness and the true Christian faith. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about the truth claims of world religions, put them to the test. Craig Parton will be our guest.
Treasury of Daily Prayer is truly a treasure chest of devotional gems for church, school, and home.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Bill Swirla, on the new devotional book, Treasury of Daily Prayer.
It is a great contribution to Christian prayer and devotion, bringing together scripture, devotional readings, psalms, and hymns into one book for pastors and people.
Find out more about Treasury of Daily Prayer at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or by calling 1-800-325-3040.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the Sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Christian apologist Gretchen Passantino on the importance of Issues Etc.
This is the best that Christian radio gets. And I know that anyone who listens to this show will get sound biblical doctrine and, most importantly, a complete focus on the cross and on Christ. I've done so many radio shows over 35 years, literally thousands of them, and I know of no other program that puts the cross and the gospel right at the focus of everything.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, Issues Etc.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the Sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.